We are working our way together through the book of Romans. This morning we want to consider together the good news of the way of God's Spirit. Again, our text this morning is from the book of Romans. We're picking up with where we left off last time with Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Let's hear God's word together. Or do you not know, brothers, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she's released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she'll be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she's free from that law, and if she marries another man, she's not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Thus far, the Word of God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, this is in fact your Word. And so we ask that you would teach it to us. You would open up the eyes of our heart, that you'd open up our understanding, that this would be a real help to us this week, that your teaching, your word, your instruction would give us life and give us understanding and help us to more effectively, more fruitfully, more joyfully live for you this week. And this is our prayer, Lord, that you would teach us from your word. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we were talking about rules, okay? Standards, values, law, okay? We were talking about right and wrong, things you're supposed to do, things you're not supposed to do. And we saw last week that rules are important, okay? The law is vital. We have to have rules. We have to have laws. We have to have right and wrong. You have to have rules at home. Okay, what time do the kids have to go to bed? When do they need to get up? Who's supposed to take out the trash? How are you supposed to talk to mom and dad? What kind of behavior is acceptable? What's okay and what is not okay? You have to have rules in the house for the family. You have to have rules at school, right? You can't talk while the teacher's talking. You can't run up and down the hallway. You can't throw things in the classroom. You've got to have rules, okay, at home, in school, in the community, right? You have to have a speed limit, okay? You have to have laws against stealing. We have to have rules. We have to have laws or else things would get out of control and people would get hurt, okay? We absolutely have to have rules and laws, especially we need God's rules. We need God's laws as the basis for all of our other rules, as the basis for laws in our community and our family and our society. We need God's rules. We need God to tell us what is right and what's wrong. What does he want us to do? What does he not want us to do? How are we supposed to handle certain circumstances? How are we supposed to respond to problems? What's important and what's not important? We absolutely have to have God's rules and God's laws. And yet the problem with rules, and this is especially true with God's rules, is that we often break them, or at least we don't keep them the way we ought. Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. That is the first and greatest commandment. That is the number one rule. And we don't keep that. I mean, not the way we ought. We don't always love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength. That's the most important rule, and we don't even keep that the way we ought to. We don't love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. We're not always quick to forgive. we don't trust the Lord as fully and as freely as we ought to. I mean, God's law, God's rule is wonderful, but the problem is that we often don't keep it the way we should. Now, when you break rules at home, okay, or you break the rules at school or even in the community, usually either you get away with it or you get punished and then it's over, okay? Let's say you're supposed to take out the trash and you don't do it. Well, maybe you get away with it. Nobody notices. Somebody takes out the trash for you. Or you get punished and dad says, tomorrow you got to take out the trash and you got to dry the dishes. Either you get away with it or you get punished and then it's done and it's dealt with. But when it comes to God's law, it doesn't usually work that way. God doesn't punish you right away. Maybe you're worrying and you're fixating on some problem and you're obsessing over it and you know you shouldn't. Well, the earth is probably not going to open up and swallow you up. God's not going to strike you with lightning. I mean, he doesn't usually punish you right away. Yet you know you're not getting away with it. It's not like God doesn't know what you're doing. So you're kind of in limbo and you're kind of waiting for what God's going to do, how God's going to deal with you. And it's kind of like when mom says, wait till dad gets home. Oh, you know. Or when you get sent to the principal's office and you're waiting outside the principal's office, you're waiting for the principal to come out to punish you. Only it's not the principal. It's God. And so often we live in anxiety, guilt, mad at ourselves, self-loathing, paranoia, fear. We're sort of waiting for the next shoe to drop. We're waiting on God to punish us, you know. Or, because it's really hard to live that way. Physically, you can't, your body cannot hold up to that kind of constant dread. So instead, we tend to go the other way, and we make excuses, and we blame other people, and we tell ourselves, well, it's not that bad. I'm actually doing quite good. It's not my fault. And so we alternate between fear, anxiety, self-loathing, dread, and blaming other people and making excuses and patting ourselves on our back and telling ourselves we're better than other people. And neither of those is a good route. Neither of those really works. Neither of those is going to help you live for God. When you're feeling guilty and feeling doomed and feeling like God's going to punish you, that doesn't help you live for the Lord. And when you're making excuses and you're blaming other people and you're patting yourself on the back and being real self-righteous, that certainly doesn't help you live for God. And the problem with both of these approaches is you're trying to live by the law. You're trying to use your efforts at keeping the law as your lifestyle. And in one case, you feel guilty and worried because you're not keeping the law. And in the other case, you're kind of punching yourself up and you're saying, no, I really do keep the law. Both of those ways of life will fail you because you're trying to live by the law. What I want you to see this morning, if you're trusting in Jesus, and this is what we talked about last week, if you're trusting, if you're believing, okay, if you have surrendered and come to terms with, if you've embraced, if you bowed the knee to who Jesus is and what he has done, then you are free from God's law. I mean, you're free from guilt, okay, and anxiety and fear and insecurity. You're also free from self-righteousness, okay, blaming other people and making yourself feel better than you really are. You're free from that. In that sense, you're free from God's law. Okay, look with me at our text this morning, beginning with verse 1. Paul says, do you not know, brothers, from speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? Now, the law, and specifically God's law, had become very, very important to the Jewish people. Okay? If you remember your Old Testament history, your Bible history, okay, there was a time when the Israelites were very careless about God's law. They completely neglected God's law. They ignored God's law. They worshipped idols, and they did everything they weren't supposed to do. And as a result, okay, on frequent occasions, they were dealt with. I mean, the Assyrians invaded and took them off into exile, and then the Babylonians invaded Jerusalem and took them off into exile. And you know, centuries of suffering resulted because of their carelessness with God's law. And so finally, when God's people, the Israelites, finally come back to Jerusalem, They came to the conclusion, we're never going to let that happen again. Okay, we're never going to forget God's law. And so not only do they begin to hang on to God's law, but they begin to add to it. They're adding more rules to help them supposedly keep God's law, so that by the time we come to this time period in the first century, being Jewish was all about keeping the law. That's the way you get to heaven. That's the way you're right with God, by being good, by keeping all the rules. And so Paul says, don't you understand that the law is only binding on you as long as you're alive? Okay? Death severs the legal bond. Okay? For example, verse 2, he says, a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she's released from the law of marriage. He's simply saying, okay, if you're married to a man, well, as long as you're married to him, as long as he's alive, you're married, okay? And you can't run off with some other guy. If you run off with some other guy, you're committing adultery. But if the man you're married to dies, well, you're not married anymore. And now you're free to go marry somebody else. Okay? He's saying that death, okay, breaks the legal bond. Now, I don't even want to get off track, but I just had to say this in passing. Some people take this to mean that you can never, ever, ever get divorced under any circumstances. I really don't think that's what Paul's talking about here. Okay? Elsewhere, Jesus says that a divorce can be biblical. For example, if your partner commits adultery, I mean, if your husband runs off with the secretary, well, you don't have to divorce him, but Jesus says you can. That's a biblical ground for divorce. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul says, if your spouse runs away, abandons you, you wake up one morning and he's just gone, well, you don't have to remain married to someone who's gone. If he abandons you, you can remain married, or you can biblically divorce him. Paul isn't talking about that here. Okay, Paul's not getting into can you ever divorce. Paul is simply making a basic principle. He's saying, in general, if you marry a guy, in general, okay, you're married for life. Okay? Except for these special circumstances, you're married for life. But if your husband dies, you're not married anymore. His point is just that death breaks the legal bond. That's the point he wants you to understand, because now he's going to apply that to your spiritual life. Okay, verse 4. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ. That is a loaded phrase or clause. It kind of summarizes everything Paul's been telling us in our studies of Romans. Okay? Remember what we saw last week. Jesus perfectly kept God's law. Jesus is the perfect example of a human being. Jesus is an example to us of what it means to be good. Jesus did everything right. Jesus perfectly kept God's law, and therefore he earned the Father's pleasure. Jesus earned the Father's good blessing. Okay? We haven't. We haven't always obeyed. We have earned God's displeasure. We've earned God's judgment and wrath. But Jesus perfectly kept God's law. He's earned the Father's blessing. But then Jesus went to the cross, and he took the punishment that we deserve. Okay? Jesus took the punishment that we deserve to give us the blessing that he has earned. He took what we earned, then he gives us what he earned for us. And the Father is so pleased with Jesus, not just with the perfect life he lived, but the fact that Jesus willingly gave his life on our behalf. The Father is so pleased to accept the atoning work of Christ that God the Father raised him from the dead and lifted him up to the highest place in heaven and has made him Lord. And we said last week that a Christian is someone who has simply come to terms with that, who has believed that Jesus has done that for me and he is Lord and I'm not. And so a Christian is someone who has sort of you've given up your efforts to try to pay for your own sins. You've given up your efforts to earn your own way to heaven. You've given up your efforts to run your own life. And you've bowed the knee to the fact that Christ has paid for your sin for you, that Christ has kept the law for you, and that Christ is your Lord and you want to live for him. That's what a Christian is. Okay. So, Paul has said, if you're trusting in Christ, you're declared righteous. Okay. If you're trusting in yourself, you're in trouble. But if you're trusting in what Christ has done, you're declared righteous. And Paul says, if you're declared righteous, then you have peace with God. Okay. Sin separates us from God, but if you're declared righteous in Christ, then you're reconciled to God, you're restored to God, you're in relationship with God through Jesus. And what we've seen over the last few weeks is that if you're in your relationship with Jesus, there's no way you can be in a relationship with Jesus and not be changed. Okay? Jesus died. He died. And if you are in a relationship with him, if you're joined to him, there's no way you cannot be changed by that. So Paul says, in a sense, you've died. Something radical has happened to you. He says, you've died to the law. Okay? What he's saying is you've died to this old way of trying to earn your way. That you've died to making your identity based on your faithfulness and your obedience. You're free from the condemnation of the law. Paul says, my brothers, you've also died to the law through the body of Christ so that you may belong to another. What he's saying is that in a sense, we were joined to the law. It's just almost like, it's almost that marriage analogy. It's like living by how good you think you are. It's almost part of our spiritual DNA. It's just so much a part of who we are. We just think that way. We measure ourselves based on how good I think I'm doing. We were joined to the law. It's like inseparable. Paul says, no, now in Christ, you've died to that so you might be joined to Christ. You've died to the law through the body of Christ so that you may belong to another. He's in that same image of a woman is married to a man and then there's a death, so now she can marry someone else. You were joined. It was like you were married to the law. This effort to be good and feeling guilty or being self-righteous, but you've died to that to be joined to Jesus, to him who has been raised from the dead. We were joined to the law, but we died so that we can be joined to Christ. Paul is saying that your identity, okay, is no longer based on your obedience to principles. We still have principles. We still have right and wrong. We still have God's law. But your identity is no longer based on your obedience to those principles. Okay? Your identity is now found in relationship to a person. You're joined to Jesus. You're in relationship with Jesus. You see, by nature, we're joined to the law. That's all about me. Whether you're feeling guilty and anxious and worried and self-loathing, that's all about you. Or if you're blaming other people and you're making excuses and you think you're doing pretty good, that's all about you. It's all about you. Paul is saying if you're trusting in Jesus, your life isn't all about you anymore. It's not about how bad you are or about how good you are. It's about how good Jesus is. All of a sudden, your life is about Jesus. You're in relationship with him. Trying to be good doesn't work. Okay. Paul says, you've died to the law through the body of Christ so you may belong to another, to him who's been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. And when Paul talks about fruit, he's talking about what we read this morning in the call to worship. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Okay? Just trying harder will not make you more loving. It won't make you more joyful. I mean, we need to try hard at everything. And if you try hard, you can usually improve in your schoolwork. You can improve your career. You can better provide for your family. Trying hard is important. But Paul is saying just trying to be good enough is not going to make you the kind of person God's calling you to be. It's not going to change your character. Okay. Spiritual fruit, the kind of fruit God wants to see in your life, the kind of change he wants to see, comes from Jesus. And so he says, you've died to the law through the body of Christ, so you may belong to another, to him who's been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. Okay? Paul is saying if you're in relationship with Jesus, okay, Jesus died. So there's a sense in which you died. You died to this old beating yourself up and feeling bad and feeling guilty. You've died to making excuses for yourself and saying you're died to that. But you're also risen. Jesus died and he rose again. If you're bound to Jesus, yeah, you died to that old way, but you've been raised in Christ to bear new fruit, to bear good fruit. God is changing you. Jesus enables you to bear good fruit for the Lord. Spiritual fruit comes from Jesus. And so Paul says you're free from God's law so that you may serve God in his spirit. Verse 5, Paul says, for while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. Okay, remember, God's law is good. God's law is good and it's holy. Psalm 119, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Later in this chapter, Paul's going to say, I love God's law in my inmost being. God's law, it's good and it's holy. We need God's law to know how to live. We need God's law to know how to please him. We need God's law to as the basis for our rules and laws in society. We need God's law to show us how much we need Jesus. God's law is good and holy. The sin is so bad, it will use God's law to tempt us and condemn us. We talked about this last time, maybe you're doing pretty well and you're growing. Yeah, you're growing and obeying God's law. Well, sin will use that. Sin will whisper to you and say, look at you, you're doing pretty well. You're doing those things you need to do. You're keeping God's law. And sin will use God's law to tempt you to become a little proud, a little self-confident, a little careless. And then sin will use God's law to beat you up. Look at you, you're getting proud and careless, and it'll beat you up. Sin will whisper in you and tempt you and use God's law to tempt you, and then it uses God's law to condemn you and to blame you and accuse you. Because sin wants you constantly either feeling guilty or being self-righteous and blaming and accusing other people. That's what sin wants. And so even though God's law is good, sin will use it to torment you and whip you and beat you and accuse you. And I think that's part of what Paul means when he says, our sinful passions are aroused by the law. Sinful passions would be anger, lust, greed, anxiety, worry. Paul's saying sin takes God's law and uses it like a stick to make you jealous, to make you anxious, to make you worried, to make you angry. You know, when you realize that you're not keeping God's law, you feel guilty, and that stirs up guilt and anxiety. Or he uses God's law to make you feel more proud and more self-righteous. Sin uses God's law to stir up your sinful passions. While we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. Okay, he's saying living by the law produces deadly fruit. That's what he says. Okay, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. Okay, whether it's feeling guilty and self-loathing and anxiety, that's not love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. That's bad spiritual fruit. Whether it's guilt and worry and anxiety and self-loathing or self-righteousness and excuses, but that's all bad fruit. And he's saying just trying harder and measuring yourself by the law and trying to be good enough, it doesn't produce in you the kind of good fruit God wants. Living by the law produces deadly fruit. God's Spirit enables us to obey. Verse 6, Paul says, but now we are released from the law. I would never say that we are released from the law. I mean, God's law is so beautiful and it's so necessary. And there's so many times in Scripture where, oh, how lovely and wonderful God's law is. I would never say that we are released from God's law, except that Paul says it. He says we are released from God's law, meaning we're released from the condemnation. We're released from basing our identity God's law is good and holy, but it was never meant to be a way to earn salvation. It was never meant to be a ladder by which I climb up to heaven on my own. It was never meant to be used that way. We're released from looking at the law that way and measuring ourselves that way, having died to that which held us captive. I mentioned last week, living by the law is like a Chinese puzzle where your fingers are stuck in there, and the more you pull, the tighter it gets. You can't get out because either you're feeling guilty, and that doesn't work. And so then you tell yourself, well, you're not as bad, and that's just being self-righteous, and that doesn't work. And you're stuck. He says you are held captive by the law. You're stuck in it. Okay. But now we're released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we may serve in the new way. This is not about getting rid of God's law so we don't have to serve God. This is not about getting rid of God's law so you can go do whatever you want, so you can sin. This is saying you're not bound by God. You're not condemned by God's law. You're set free from condemnation so that you can serve him. Remember, that's what this whole thing is all about. It's about how you can better serve God. This isn't about how you can serve yourself. It's how you can better serve God. Being guilty and beating yourself up doesn't help you serve God. Making excuses, blaming other people, and telling yourself you're better than you are, it doesn't help you serve God. Paul's saying there's a better way to serve God. He says, we serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code. Okay. What he's saying here is that God's Spirit enables us to obey. Okay? Sin uses God's law to tempt us and condemn us, but God's Spirit uses God's law to produce good fruit. Okay? When he says we serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code, some people take that to mean, I don't need the Bible anymore. Or I at least don't have to look at the specific words. I don't have to worry about the details. I live by the Spirit, not by the letter. That's clearly not what Paul means. He's talking about, how can I obey this law? This law is so good and holy. How can I obey it without being condemned by it? And he says, by God's Spirit. By God's Spirit. Because if I'm trying to do it myself by the law, then I'm always either feeling guilty and wretched and worried, or I'm having to make excuses and tell myself I'm better than I am. Neither of those helps me serve God. But if I'm believing in the Lord Jesus, God's Spirit takes what Christ has done and applies it to my life. Okay, so when I look at God's law, I see how much Jesus has done for me. I see how much I need Jesus and how much he's done for me, and that makes me love him more. See, God's Spirit takes the things of Jesus and applies it to my life. God's Spirit uses God's law. Just like sin can use God's law, God's Spirit uses God's law to help you produce good fruit. So that as you're looking to the Lord and you're trusting in him and what he's done, how he lived for you and how he died for you, well, then when you go to God's law, this is what Jesus did for me. And that increases your gratitude. This is how much I needed the Savior. That increases your appreciation. That increases your love. So instead of self-loathing and self-hatred or self-righteousness and pride, you're more thankful. You're more loving. You're more joyful. The more you read God's word, you're looking at it by the power of the Spirit. This is what Jesus has done for me. This is where Jesus is leading me. This is where Jesus has taken me. It makes you joyful. It makes you excited. It makes you motivated. It begins to, God's Spirit produces good fruit in you. Paul's argument to the Romans and to us this morning is not to get rid of God's law. But how do we obey? How do we obey the law? And he says it's by God's Spirit. It's not looking to yourself and your own obedience, your own efforts to obey. The way we serve the Lord and obey God's law is by looking to Jesus, remembering who he is and what he's done, trusting in his Spirit. You're now living in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and in a relationship with him, he kept the law. And now you're in relationship with him. And you can't be in a relationship with Jesus and not be changed. He kept the law. And so as you live in relationship with Jesus, he's going to grow you and he's going to change you. And his Spirit is going to use God's law to teach you how to walk in it, to teach you how to grow in it. And when you stumble and you feel guilty, God's Spirit reminds you, Jesus paid for that, and so you can get back up again. No more beating yourself up in self-loathing. Jesus paid for that, so you get back up again. When you start to feel kind of self-righteous and proud and blame other people for your sins, you say, wait a minute. Jesus covered my sins. I don't have to. I don't have to make those excuses. God's Spirit takes your eyes off yourself, takes you back to Jesus, helps you bear good spiritual fruit so that you can really live for Jesus and serve him in the Spirit. You are freed from the condemnation of the law so that you can go out and serve God in his Spirit. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, it's one thing to talk about these things. It's altogether different to actually go out and obey. It's difficult, Lord, and it drives us. It drives us more and more to the fact that we need you, and we need to learn how to walk in relationship with you. We need to learn how to trust you. We need to learn to take our eyes off of ourselves and trust more confidently in who you are and what you've done. To believe more fully in who you are and in what you're doing, that you're growing us and you're teaching us. Lord, we want to serve you. We want to keep your law. Do that within us, Lord. Make us to be a people who joyfully serve you. Pour out your Spirit within us. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Teach us to walk in the ways of your Spirit. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.